This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
That helps you to not only uncover that for yourself, but to be in that for yourself, like the act of being who you were created to be in this lifetime and all and everything that comes with that. So that's how I define it to people when they ask me, what does it mean to be a spiritual strategist? I help you get your spirit in order so that it's fully activated so you can be in your purpose in this and the strategy for that for you uniquely.
All right. Hey, Style Crew. We are back for another episode of Style and Conversation. And we are continuing the series for the new year. And the focus is around implementing practical strategies because at this point we're past January. And so my goal is to meet you all where some fatigue and maybe some frustration may have come in where you started the new year off with this momentum. And now that we're 2 months in, I want to help you keep that going. But by speaking with guests that help you put your goals and just your vision at the forefront in a practical way. So my guest today is going to help you do that. And the title of this episode is Implementing a Spiritual Strategy for Your Life. So I'm very excited to introduce Tanisha Yorick. And we are going to get started by introducing her. Tanisha Yorick Allen is the CEO and founder of Your Other Mind, a transformative consultancy where she merges strategic insight with spiritual alignment to guide entrepreneurs and business leaders through profound growth and success. As a coach, consultant, and spiritual strategist, Tanisha empowers her clients to design purpose-driven, soul-aligned businesses that not only thrive financially, but also create lasting impact. With dual degrees in marketing and managerial sciences, Tanisha has developed a unique model that blends business acumen with energetic alignment, helping leaders overcome fear, embrace clarity, and activate their highest potential. Her signature offer, Elevate, provides a powerful framework for CEOs, founders, and visionaries to scale their businesses with strategy, intention, and authenticity. Beyond her consultancy, Tanisha is the visionary behind The Spirit Woman, a sacred community for BIPOC individuals exploring spiritual growth, and the Bembe Caribbean Dance Foundation, I hope I pronounced that correctly, honoring her Caribbean heritage through movement and culture. A survivor of gun violence and PTSD, Tanisha's personal journey of resilience fuels her passion for helping others navigate challenges with courage and purpose. Her mission is clear: to guide leaders in building businesses that not only achieve success, but also serve the greater good. So, Style Crew, let's welcome Tanisha in. And I'm just thrilled to have you in here for this conversation. So I just want to start by welcoming you in.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. You know, every time somebody reads my bio, I'm always like, oh yeah, that's me. And I get filled with like another like level of excitement, and it feels so good. So I'm really glad to be here. Thank you so much.
It can be an exciting thing because it's easy to forget all the things on your resume. And then as someone else is reading it off, you're like, oh, I have done that. Yeah. So I can do more. Like, I still have breath in my lungs. So let's keep going and let's continue to have an impact and add more to that, which I know you're going to continue to do.
Literally that whole thing. Everything you just said, like with like cute little exclamation points and like a sprinkle of glitter on top of it. Literally is how I feel. Exactly.
Yes. Yes. That's exactly what it is.
Yeah.
So let's start out, because this is actually my first encounter with a spiritual strategist. And I also imagine that for many listeners, this also may be a new terminology that they're hearing for the first time. So what is the definition of a spiritual strategist?
Oh, that is such a good question. So I just want to, because words mean things, you know, spiritual is about aligning one's being with the greater spirit that be, right? So like understanding, some people might call that your higher self, your Holy Spirit. Like, it's the act of being in community with God. So when I'm talking about spiritual, that's what I'm talking about. The being one with the creator and source and acknowledging that. And then the strategy piece is like the navigating of how we do things, right? Strategies are things that help us navigate challenges and obstacles, right? If you put the two of those things together, we're talking about the obstacle or the challenge of being human, right? By honoring the spirit and the strategy that is required for you as like an individual, someone who, when God created you with specificity, she created you to be a very specific person. I am a person that helps you to not only uncover that for yourself, but to be in that for yourself, like the act of being who you were created to be in this lifetime and all and everything that comes with that. So that's how I define it to people when they ask me, what does it mean to be a spiritual strategist? I help you get your spirit in order so that it's fully activated so you can be in your purpose in this and the strategy for that for you uniquely.
So you said a few things that I wanted to touch on.
Yay.
So something that I heard recently towards the end of 2024 in a sermon was just a reminder from my pastor that we are spirit beings within fleshly, like human, tangible, I can touch you body, right? Absolutely. For me, I don't know if this is something that you can relate to or any of the listeners, but it's very easy for me to forget that we are spirits. I'm reminded of it more now as I'm growing in my faith. And so one of the prayers that I say in the morning as soon as I wake up is like, okay, Holy Spirit, help guide my thoughts, my words, my steps today. So I'm reminded of it in that sense, but I still had never thought about it in that way until it was broken down in that sermon that, oh, we are spirits. So with that, why do you think that for us as human beings, let me back up. Do you feel that first and foremost that we recognize that as human beings?
Yeah, no, we don't. So language is everything, first of all, in the way that I guide and navigate my life, and then the way I guide and navigate others who are called to like walk with me. And I always tell my clients, we always forget because it's so easy to forget, right? When we think about the lives that we're living, what I don't call it trauma, but I call it life-impacting events. We have enough life-impacting events that happen to us, and we learn to interact with the things that happen to us in a very specific way. The culture that we have agreed to and signed up for is a culture that is collectively like, okay, learn how to do these things, learn how to be this way, which is any way other than yourself, do things that are not you, right? So that you can fit in. And so when you have that like indoctrination, that conditioning as like your guiding force, plus the fact that like you have life impacting events, it is very natural for the body, for the brain, for the being of a person to want to stay within that exact programming, right? And it shapes the way, you know, we talk about in my community, energy, spirit, and awareness. Those are three key things that people have to like refresh their attention to, because that type of life that I just described, the one that we've been conditioned to, it creates a very specific level of awareness. It tells you that everything around you is exactly real. It is exactly happening to you, when we know for a fact, due to like quantum physics and like energy principles and science, that the world that you are aware of, it's being shaped by you, right? It's being shaped by your perception. And so if you're locked into being anything other than yourself, doing anything other than what you want to do, then what happens is you kind of get confused, right? And the journey then becomes, how do I activate the connection to my spirit long enough to sustain a high level of awareness and attention that energizes me, nourishes my spirit, and tells me the truth about where I stand? That is a skillful work. And that is why someone like a spiritual strategist might exist in someone's life, because it is a journey to that level of activation and that level of awareness. And that has to be trained and developed over time, because most of us, before we come to a place of awakening, have so much time being under the collective consciousness of, we go to work, we go to school, in this order, in this way, and nothing else. Does that make sense? Or
no, that makes perfect sense. And you're saying a lot as you're speaking. I'm just trying to think of all of the things that I wanted to ask you that aren't even on our list of questions. So the first thing I wanted to ask you is, why do you think that society is structured in such a way to encourage people to be something other than themselves? I have my own thoughts on this, but you're the expert, so I want to hear your reasoning behind this.
That's a really good question. I think at the purest, fear is something that rules all of us. If you look at, we'll talk about this probably later on, my energetic blueprint, the reason why I do the work that I do, is to help people overcome fear. Or what I say in a different way is to help people be more courageous to do things that they love. And fear is such an instinctively human thing that we want to control our experience, right? And there has been a group of us over time, I am being very specific, I do mean most cases white men, colonization, that have impacted, has used fear as a mechanism to keep people under control, which really just means in a way that they can understand, in a way that's manageable, and in a way that like leads to a result for a certain group. And so when you have fear and you have that energy of colonization, because it takes, right, it dictates and it organizes in a way that suits one or a small group of people, then all you do is you have fear, hitting fear, hitting fear. And so the world that we have shaped thus far is fear-based because, one, humans are, right? And our brains are wired that way to be fear-focused. And two, we've all just been trying to stay safe within an environment that does not allow us to be free. That's the simplest way to put it. You know what I mean? And so if our world is shaped by people who are not a line or it's not any light, then all it becomes is a game of control. How can I control this? How can I control that? It's just the way that the things kind of happen.
Okay. So instead of what my perception of what you're saying is that, so instead of surrendering and allowing yourself to be who it is that you are destined to be and operate as the spirit being that you're supposed to be out of fear, as well as the social constructs put in place, many of us are resisting against that to just go along with the grain for many reasons.
Because in the brain, in the DNA, in the way that we are structured, fear, the brain is always working to keep the body safe, right? Mm-hmm. And we've learned safety through acceptance and groupthink and surprisingly, being yourself is just as scary as if you're about to jump off of a ledge, right? It says to the brain and the body, I might die if I'm not accepted. It might be life or death if I'm not accepted. It's really old conditioning that served us at one point. And then you add society on top of that, it just capitalizes on that energetic thread. Mm-hmm. And the work is undoing that for yourself to like have the liberation that you need the most.
Let me ask you this. Being both of us being Black women, and again, I have my thoughts, but I want to hear yours as an expert. Do you feel that this pressure is greater for Black people as well as other ethnicities of color?
Oh, yeah, I do. I think because it's so layered. Mm-hmm. You know, in my work, what I always tell my clients is like, there's an energetic through line, right? And I don't limit things to like Black or white or people of color. I'm really clear though that lived experience.
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces, Gucci bags, Prada heels, but my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal, game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Senses dictate an energetic frequency, a vibration, right? That you are radiating out. The more things you have had to survive to overcome, the more of a chance that you have a vibration that needs more work, more love, more attention, more rewiring and rerouting. Mm-hmm. And the clients that tend to be drawn to me are always experts in their field. But the more expertise a Black person has, the more expertise a person of color has, the more expertise a person of indigenous background has, usually the more strife they had to go through to get that. So there's a bigger energetic or vibrational shift that has to happen to peel back the layers of their awareness so that they can shift into, okay, it's safe to be myself. Okay, it's safe to be like activated. There's a mechanism and a strategy for every single person on this earth. It is our work to not only uncover that, but then to use that as like a momentum and a power going forward. So yeah, we do have bigger we have different energetic through lines, different vibrations to clean up. And just because of the way that we have lived in this world, yeah, there's a little bit more that tends to happen for people of color.
Okay. And so that actually guides me to the next question I wanted to ask, based off the overview that you gave us earlier. You described, there was a term you used instead of trauma. What was that word?
Life impacting events.
Yes. So, and I know you mentioned what I'm gathering just off of a few minutes of having conversation with you is that you're very intentional with your words and what you speak. And I imagine that that's because with our words, we're manifesting certain mm-hmm. things. At least that's my belief. And so I agree with you because I'm very selective with how I say things.
Yeah.
And the words that I use. But I wanted to ask you, why did you choose to use that terminology instead of trauma? And how have you found that to have a better impact by using that terminology instead of trauma?
You know, no one's ever asked me that. And I'm so glad you did. Mm-hmm. So as someone who is a survivor of gun violence and a survivor of PTSD due to that gun violence, what I tell my clients, I used to tell this story all the time, is like, back when I was told that I had PTSD and I was fully operating in that space, even to how this company got started, right? I used to tell my clients, you couldn't find a better example of PTSD, honey. Like, if you had looked in that little book, because of what had been told to me, what I had chose to participate in based on what was told to me about this condition, I assumed the responsibility of PTSD, right? Okay. I took it on. I was like, yes, this is what it is. It's post-traumatic stress disorder. And so everything that I could be in post-traumatic stress disorder, I chose to be. Okay. The word trauma, while my work is trauma-informed, while my work does reduce trauma, and while I also still recommend people to get therapy and all of that, I don't use that word because what happens to the body and the being is that people tend to embody a thing when you tell them they have a thing. And we need people to understand, I need my clients to understand, I need people in the world to understand that you are perfect, whole and complete, and that every single little intricate and specific detail that has happened impacts not only your unique strategy, your spiritual strategy, let alone your business strategy, but it impacts the exact impact that you were designed to make. If I call everything that you've been through just trauma and simplify it, you might grab onto that and say, yes, I've been traumatized. Yes, I've been traumatized. Yes, I've been traumatized, versus owning that this life-impacting event has uniquely shaped you. And it was already coded. It's already a part of the plan. God sees you. Our creator sees you so specifically that this thing that you think is the thing that you have to like overcome and integrate, and you will, right? Mm-hmm. That this thing is also for your highest, your best good and intention. And it has a role, right? And who you have been to overcome this thing, that has a role. And that role, that thing that you have done well, is your thing to now share with others so our world can be better, more nourished. You know what I mean? Like, it's all, you know, in the beginning was the word, it just begets, right? You know, if you're Christian, you understand the language of beget, like, I beget this, begets that. Yeah, all the things that happen to me beget something else. And it begets my goodness and my greatness. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
Yeah. So that's why I use life-impacting events so that you understand that this happened to you. It impacted you, but it shaped you, right? There's a purpose and a reason and a mechanism in there that makes your greatness known.
Okay. So I want to ask you, and if this is not too personal, if it is, I completely respect that and we don't have to discuss it.
You can absolutely
You mentioned being a gun violence survivor. Am I using the correct terminology?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I want to ask you for your personal journey. Because the reason I asked this before I asked this question, I imagine there's someone listening that has had an event of that magnitude that has happened in their life. And they may be having trouble with, how can I navigate this and turn this into a positive and not let it stump me in my journey? So for you, how were you able to turn that event into I don't even know if positive is the right word. I don't want to offend you or anyone else. But how were you able to implement that event into your life and allow it to start to transform your journey?
It's such a good question. And I know you didn't ask me what happened. I know that that's intentional, but I'm going to ask it. I'm going to answer that question because I can hear the question in your and what you just asked me.
Okay. When I was share with us. This is a safe space. Whatever you are willing to share. And I always want to be respectful of my guests, but whatever you're willing to share with us.
My life is a testimony, honey. When I was 16, I was leaving a teen party, you know, growing up in Atlanta. If you grew up in Atlanta, on any level, you'll be familiar with this. Mm-hmm. And protecting a friend, I was shot when I was 16. And I bled out as I was waiting. I started to cross over, was given an opportunity to come back. I did. And I went on and survived. I, being the high achieving teenager that I was at the time, jumped right back into school, was in school, and 3 months later, graduated, all the things, right? Unbeknownst to me, I'm coming up into college. I am living my life. I'm thinking I'm just having anxiety, whatever. And I have a mental breakdown when I'm 23 years old. After I got married, actually, in college, it's like when everything, and that's when I got the diagnosis. And I was like, oh, snap. My parents were like, we just thought you were just doing great because you would just bounce back. And I'm like, nah. And at the same time that I'm getting this diagnosis, I'm cultivating a career in operations excellence, which is different from day-to-day operations. Day-to-day operations, like the mechanism, just doing the things. Operations excellence or strategic operations is growth strategy. So everything that you design and build and implement, processes and procedures and people, it is designed to further longer-term, quicker efficiency and growth, right? And so when I was getting the diagnosis, I was like, yeah, you know, I am in therapy, doing the therapy thing. It was great. It helped to deactivate a lot of like the big triggers, the big overwhelm. And then after a year or so, I was like, I still feel like I'm not making any progress, right? Like, I feel like my life, I know that I'm somewhere different, but there's not enough of the difference for me. Like, I still feel so confused about who I am. And so what I quit therapy at the time. I'm not recommending anyone quit therapy. Check in with your people. Check in with yourself. Right. Mm-hmm. But for me, I was like, I need to put into practice everything that she has taught me. Because just going week over week over week was helping me to embody the state of being that said, I am traumatized. I'm a victim. I'm not eating that for me. Mm-hmm. And because I was doing strategic operations and I knew that when I designed a process that if whoever I'm giving the process to or whatever I was streamlining, if I give it to somebody and I give them 30 days, 60 days, 90 days that I've been taught to give them, they will make a change and they will execute this process so well every single time. What I figured out when I left therapy was like, if I'm going to put this into implementation, I'm going to do it in a way that speaks to me, right? And I started to put the things in process. And I was like, oh, there is a way of being. The same thing I was doing at work, the same strategy design process I was doing at work, it literally works the exact same for this, for my life. And it's for my soul. And so the way that I integrated the things and turned it into a good thing, I just realized in that time of training and recovering from PTSD, I was like, oh, I just have a strategy. What has happened to me in my life and the way that my brain now operates and the way that my body now responds to the world around me, the way that my gifts of clairvoyancy and all these things are showing up. There's just a strategy to this, that these things that my therapist was trying to give me, they help. And some pieces of my own learning was closing the loop on, oh, you just have to like treat this body well. Treat this mind well. Like all these things are useful. And so I'm saying that to say without the PTSD journey, without me being shot, I would have never connected the dots that, oh, business strategy, spiritual strategy. You get the spiritual strategy popping, whatever you're trying to do in life, you're going to be so activated because it's going to be uniquely to your energetic blueprint that you got whatever you got. You know what I'm saying? You got this. Mm-hmm. And that's what I learned really quickly. I was like, oh, so just for my body and my lifetime with the things that I have been through, mm-hmm. this is what is required for me. But it is because of the things that I have been through that I even know how to look for, do this, develop it into a process, and then show other people, yeah, I know you're stressed out. I know you're high achieving. I know there's things going on, but let me show you how you can just kick open the access to yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like that, yeah. That's really all that's all I got here. So it's not even turning into a positive. I took something that impacted me greatly, mm-hmm. and I claimed it as mine. And this is my experience. This is the part of me to love. And this is the part of me that also triumphs, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wanted to also ask you, in the process of you reclaiming that, one of the things I noticed is that, I don't know the timeline, but it doesn't seem like it was a great amount of time for you to have been like, okay, this happened. I graduated shortly after that. And then a few years later, I realized, hey, I was really impacted by this. Why do you think that you pushed past that experience so quickly?
Girl, because I am a Jamaican, Guyanese, I'm a Caribbean Black woman living in America. Are you kidding me?
Okay, girl, I just wanted to give you the chance to say it, because
I am a high achieving, only daughter, like the youngest, but really the oldest. Like, mm-hmm. I pushed past it because I have always known to what? Push past it, right? Mm-hmm. Survival is a mechanism, right? It mm-hmm. gets to be a mechanism in the beginning. But my Caribbean background, I'm first generation American. I do identify as Jamaican and Guyanese before I identify as American because of just the microcosm of me. But mm-hmm. yeah, I am taught to go, right? Mm-hmm. And so the bigger the mental and emotional state that I was in, I pushed past it for that. On the social and emotional side, I had parents that were not at the time emotionally available. So all the recovery that I had to do, it was really hard for me to do in my home. And I just wanted to get back to my friends. You know, when things happen to you sometimes, people stop showing up. They mm-hmm. stop going to visit. Mm-hmm. And you don't realize what that kicks off inside of you. And I just wanted to get back to school to be around my friends. People mm-hmm. I stopped calling. People I stopped calling. And I was like, all right, trauma, let's go. Life mm-hmm. fact, let's go. I need to get around and navigate this for myself. And that's mm-hmm. why I ran back to school after 3 months. You know what I mean? I could have mm-hmm. taken, like, a bullet went straight through me. I could have taken way more time, way more, like, done something different had I known. Mm-hmm. But that high achieving spirit, when it takes over, it just takes over. And that's what a lot of us have to recover from.
Mm. So being that you had to recover from the high achieving spirit, and I don't know if this is something that it's like you're still on this healing journey or if you have arrived, but what would you say to someone that may need to recover from being a high achieving spirit and just pushing impactful events to the wayside and just plowing forward?
At the base of it, I would tell that person to get grounded in who you are. The first mm-hmm. level of anything, any interaction I do with anybody, anything, is knowing that you can stop. And
this podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Just understand who you are. You mm-hmm. can stop and just appreciate who you are, right? The first step in my process and in the way that we do things is recalibrate. That mm-hmm. means the same thing that I used to do when I would go and consult for like tech organizations or startups, right? I go into the organization and I look and I say, all right, y'all, I understand what y'all tell me where the problem is, where the fire is. Stop moving. Mm-hmm. Everybody stop. Let me see where the problem is. You mm-hmm. know, in order to do that, people have to stop and then take stock of everything that is around them. So, and I'm talking like big organizations. I'm talking like Amazon, right? That's one of the companies I work for. So like when I meet a person and they want to
recover. Okay, be sis.
You know,
I just want to pause right there. She said, yeah, this is one of my clients. I just wanted to emphasize that. Talk heavy.
So yeah, like, you know, like when I meet somebody who's like, yo, I'm trying to recover from the high achievement in me, I'm gonna say stop. And I force them to stop and see yourself. Before you do anything that I ask you to do, who are you? Tell me all the stock of who you are. Show me what's wrong and just stop and appreciate it. See, because if you never knew what was wrong, if you never knew what was stressing you out, if you never knew all these things, you wouldn't even have a moment to be here with me now. So congratulate yourself for that. You deserve that. So high achieving people, just stop. Stop and get grounded in who you are, who you have been, who you are being, and appreciate that for the value and the wealth and the currency and the momentum that that is going to aid you in becoming undone. And for me, yeah, nah, my energetic data, Tanisha has done the work, and I always, because it's a cycle, the way my life is set up, I work every other week, honey. High achieving is not a thing that I'm interested in anymore. I'm interested in being myself and being who I am coded to be, period.
I love that. Okay. So I feel like you've shared some of your journey with us, but is there anything else you want to share with us about your journey to the profession that you're in now and just all of the impact that you're having?
Yeah. I worked for lots of tech startups. I worked for like private clients and helped them grow and create beautiful things. And it just took me a little second. I was like, oh my God, what do I do? Like, how do I mind my process, right? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, girl, you're basically a COO. I am a COO, like, my practice, right? Like, operations genie. And I just found my way here by pushing the limit on, like, how much more of the beautiful things could I create, right? Creation is a very important thing for me. And I offer that to people when I meet them. I want to see what you can create. And so your other mind and the consultancy and the coaching practice became a thing because I just wanted to push myself to create. And how much could I share as quickly as possible, all the things I need to share about the world and creation and how it works, and get people invested in that, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's how it started. And then also I was laid off, you know, but I was laid off because I didn't listen. And spirit told me a long time ago, my ancestors told me 2 years before I was laid off, they were like, hey girl, you're doing the exact right work. Quit that job, go full time. And I was like, no. And so sometimes when you do things that, you know, spirit, God, creator, source, and ancestors, all of them and one of them, whatever you subscribe to, sometimes they'll just be like, all right, girl, you took too long, go, you know? And that was my goal. So I've been in the go since for 3 years, full time, just this company. And it's been beautiful.
So you've experienced the impact of being disobedient to the spirit.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, I can. Yeah, you know, I can so relate.
I wouldn't be no person if I didn't include that in the journey as well. Cause like,
yes,
things happen. Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, I know you mentioned that creation is something that's important to you. How would you define creation for yourself?
That's a good question. Doing everything that God told me to do. Doing everything that's, you know, everybody's language is different. So I'm going to just codify this just that people can borrow the language that feels best for them. Doing everything that spirit told me to do. Doing everything the universe told me to do and nothing else. What I went created to do, just that. I just want to do just that. My life needs to be just that.
I like it.
Yeah.
I like that. And so do you feel that what you're doing now is something that ultimately you always wanted to do, or a series of impactful events led you to this point through like a culmination of different gifts that you have?
When I left therapy, I felt like I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. When I left therapy and I started to do my own work, which ended up becoming my IP and my process for how I get clients to the other side. I remember writing back then when I would like ask myself, what's my purpose? And I would like channel spirit. And like, there's a way that I teach this too, like how to get the answer, the truth of the answer, not the human of the answer, but the truth, the spirit of the answer. And I looked at the paper and it was like, oh, you know, I'm here to help people live more efficient lives was what was the language at the time. And I was like, yeah, efficient lives, because I know how to do efficiency. And if they're more efficient, then they'll have a great time. Da, 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 da. And it's basically the same thing, especially as I've like incorporated, like in my work, we use guiding tools, human design, gene keys, and numerology to uncover people's energetic data to give them momentum to start to make moves forward. In my numerology, which is what we call, in my community, we call them impact codes, right? What you are here to do. In my impact code, it says, Tanisha is here to counsel millions in a networking heavy promotional role, dealing with the art of conquering fear and the development of an advanced expertise. That mechanism, that way of doing it, is the same thing as making people more efficient. It's literally, it just has grown over time into what that means, right? To be fearless, to be courageous, you have to have a process and a thing that is so efficient that you don't get in your own way, right? That's where the strategy comes in. You stop getting in your own way and you just let things be. And so, yeah, I think I've from back then to now, it's the same exact energetic through line. It just has more legs with the more education I've had about myself, the more education I've had about my practice, the more education I've had about the work that I do and how it shows up. So yeah, I think I'm doing exactly what I'm supposed to do. And and if I could dream for anything in the world, that's all I want for people, because I just imagine a world where everyone is doing exactly what they were coded to do and how much of a benefit that has to all of us, that my story begets someone else's story and that ricochets through life and time. And we get to create the world that when our creator looked down on earth and was like, you know, this is how it's going to go, that it gets to be that, you know, that makes me excited. Like, imagining what our world will look like when everyone is activated, or as many people as possible are activated, and that ricochets and ricochets and ricochets and ricochets. Before you know it, this world will be completely different.
I love that. And I can tell that you sincerely mean that by just the smile on your face.
I do.
And the joy that's radiating out as you say that. So I know, like, I know you have confirmation, but as someone just meeting you virtually, I have confirmation that you're doing what it is that you're supposed to do through your work, is your the joy that you're radiating by talking about this.
Oh, it brings me so much joy. You don't even know. Like, I'm just like, okay, who can I help? Who can I help? Who needs to be activated? Like, let's go. Mm. Let's do that thing in the world. Beautiful. It is beautiful. It is beautiful.
I love that. And so you mentioned the term activated. What, so in your line of work, what does that mean?
Activated, to turn on. Literally, back to like old school factory logistics stuff, turn it on.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Flip a switch.
And so how can someone know? Well, obviously, if they haven't met you, they may not be fully activated. So what are some signs that someone is not activated?
Ooh, they still do things really hard. What I mean by that is like, there is a way to get results that require high levels of implementation. Okay. When people are doing things and it feels really struggly, it is probably because they have not reached far enough or big enough. If they haven't reached far enough or big enough, that means that their vision isn't clear. And if their vision isn't clear, then I'm aware that they're not activated. So this is like, we're talking about people who have like really long to-do lists where maybe two things by the end of the day get crossed off. Right. Mm-hmm. We're talking about people who kind of talk about the same thing over and over and over again. And what I'm talking about is like they're talking about the same problems over and over and over again. Right. And everywhere they go, there's a different problem that they notice. If you're problem aware more than you are solution aware, that shows me that you're not activated. So you see all the negative things, but you have a harder time seeing all the positives because attention and awareness dictate reality. People who feel that kind of burnout, like when I meet people, usually when they find me, they are overcoming or coming with big emotional baggages, big, like, I don't know what's wrong with me. Mm-hmm. That's usually like the language that I hear. And that shows me, oh, you're in pain because your spirit is asking for a thing. You don't know how to give it using the high achieving things that you've done thus far. And now we got to birth that open. We got to turn that switch on, right? Mm-hmm. So really, really busy, really struggling, a lot of emotional conflict, don't remember everything else that I said, but you kind of get the picture, right? Like it's 100%. It starts to become a way of being that just feels like the wrong, like you're wearing the wrong shirt. That's how I know. Like, and I say that language to people and they'd be like, oh yeah, that does, I am wearing the wrong, I'm wearing the wrong shirt. Like a shirt that's too small. Yeah, that's what it starts to look like.
Okay. You're saying a lot. You're talking heavy. Okay, so another question I wanted to ask you. During our pre-recording call, you mentioned that you have a lengthy morning routine. And in my experience, routines can provide structure for success. So I wanted to ask you if you are comfortable walking us through your morning routine and the impact that it has had on multiple areas of your life.
Yeah. Okay. So we don't use the word routine.
Okay.
Mostly because where I train my clients is most people do not have a positive connotation of the word routine. It usually triggers self-sabotage in some way. It usually triggers self-doubt in some way. Or it triggers overperformance, which is that thing, that's that same thing that people talk about when they start New Year's resolutions and you come out really, really heavy and then you crash, right? And I use language that offers openness. And so we say rituals. I call it a ritual.
Okay.
In our community, we have a thing called rich rituals that I train them to do. And so my personal ritual, morning rituals are codified to Tanisha, which means based on my energetic data, based on my mission in life, based on the life impacting events that have impacted me, and based on the gifts that are required out of me, the reason why my process is longer than most people is one, because spirit told me, two, because it is coded in we call them, our spiritual strategy is found in our gene keys. In my gene keys, it talks about what I would need in this lifetime. And so for me, to remain healthy, I require a very active working life and a very active physical personal life. Meaning like I have to move my body to deposit and get rid of some of my surpluses of energy. That's how I'm codified, like all my data, right? And so my morning ritual, and then if you add in PTSD and if you know anything about mind sciences and what it takes to like program a mind that has been rewired by PTSD, you have to turn on different things in order for PTSD not to hijack that individual and take over the way that they operate.
Okay.
I'm moving my slowest through this as possible.
Yeah, take your time.
Okay, that I'm making sense. So when a person is impacted by PTSD or by trauma in general, trauma rewires your brain. It rewires your brain to turn certain synapses off, certain neurons off, and it puts you in a high trigger, high function state, right? So we're talking about fight, flight, freeze, or fawn. The brain has now said, I got you, and here's how I got you. I'm going to take out some of these things that you don't need because you just need to know where the danger is, right?
Okay.
In order to heal a brain that has been impacted by trauma, this is for all of us, or life impacting things, you have to now create new neurons and you have to go back and turn things back on, right? Which can be methodical, but it means you have to disrupt your brain's normal way of functioning because it's going to pick whatever feels safest for itself. Okay. So for me, my morning rituals conclude. I meditate for about 30 to 45 minutes because that is what I have found since learning myself and learning what active work looks like for me. I have found refreshes my mind.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. This That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
Most makes it the most clear blank state energetically and frequency talking, and then like sciencey talking. Then I journal. So now we're at, if I journal free write, then it's probably about 10 minutes or so. Then I tap, and EFT tapping. I have a tapping sequence that I personally go through every single morning. That mm-hmm. can take anywhere from like 10 to 15 minutes added on top of that. So we're like, what, an hour or 10 maybe? Mm-hmm. And I tap affirmations that are codified again to my lived experience, to what I need to overcome. Mm-hmm. I also do like morning stretches, which is I do the 5 Tibetans. That's what I do when I wake up in the morning. And then I have a series of things that I drink and that I routine through, but I move very slowly through those things. And then I go for a walk for an hour minimum, which on average is about 3 miles for me. I walk because in my human design, it talks about the extra posits of energy that I have. And so that helps me get the most grounded, that as I use my gifts to assess the world around me, energetically speaking, and pull in information, that's the best way to keep me grounded as my system absorbs other people's things, other people's feelings, other people's lived experiences so that I can help them navigate better. So my routine, my ritual takes about, usually it's anywhere from 2 to 3 hours in the morning. Mm-hmm. And then by human design, I am what they call a projector, which means I don't have a lot of energy anyway until I'm like locked into a thing. And so all of these things that sound like a lot of stuff to do to people, to me, have been codified as like rest and restoration, which a projector needs in order to do their thing well, guide people, create plans, solutions, see the future, whatever, right? And so in order for me to do that, that is my restoration practice, my mm-hmm. ritual practice that turns my spirit on. I have to condition this mind to come awake for each day to be the spirit being that I am, because I have the PTSD to navigate through, the being Black to navigate through, the woman to navigate through. So these little activities turn on my specific spirit. But spiritual strategies that I have written for other people, their rituals are smaller. Some of my clients have been like, you know, when I've gone through their things, their energetic data, or gone through the energetic data and channeled spirit, like their ancestors, their spirit guides, their morning ritual might be an hour. It might be 30 mm-hmm. minutes. It might be as simple as like taking a prayer and saying a prayer a specific kind of way. Mm-hmm. Everyone's body and everyone's spirit does not require the same things. And mm-hmm. so that's why people are like, oh, here's my morning ritual. That's great. But maybe the video should be, find your morning ritual that is yours, right? Because if you mm-hmm. have things that are yours, they will work. Affirmations have to be codified to the individual. It has to have language that makes sense for the individual, right? I'm going into a tangent, but you get
you're not at all. Okay. No, you're not. Everything that you're saying is important.
Okay. So yeah, so like when I first started doing this work, I used to develop spiritual strategies for people. Like you could come to me, you would pay me money. I would do the consulting literally would just be, what is my spiritual strategy? And I would write it for the 7 core areas of your life, your mm-hmm. spirit, your finances, your personal development, your physical health, mm-hmm. your family life, your free time, right? I would write it for these things. And again, it's pulling that person's energetic data. It's seeing how they how when spirit created you, how did they create you? When God mm-hmm. created you, how does she create you? Oh, you're created like this. Okay. Now, if I take this plus what spirit is telling me, this is what you need to do to be turned on and amplified in all these areas every day, every week, or whatever the ritual ended up being. But again, these things have to be codified to the people that are actually doing it. So sometimes I would create affirmations for this person. They'll bring their affirmations. They'll be like, you know, everything's well and good. And I would hear them say that. And one of my gifts is like energetic frequencies. So I could hear the frequency being off, right? Mm-hmm. And I might ask them, okay, you're using the word discipline. Why are you using that word? What does that word mean to you? And then they would be like, well, discipline is like what my dad would do when I would get in trouble. Right. So now you're using language that is energetically coded against you in a style of affirmation, and you're wondering why it doesn't work, right? Mm-hmm. You're using a word that does not mean the thing that you need it to mean. So use something else.
Okay.
Which is why we don't use routine. Most high achievers are good at routine. I'm going to get a routine. I'm going to go to work. I'm going to perform for someone else. I'm going to seek validation for someone else. And this is the routine that gets me there. We use rituals because for us, whenever high achievers or people that I work with see the word ritual, they're like, huh? That doesn't feel familiar. That doesn't feel like something I could use to beat myself up with if I don't get it right. Doesn't feel like something I could use to validate myself by other people's perception. Oh, that's a me thing, her. Then whole other skill set that they have to learn. So my morning ritual is that, but again, it's codified to Tanisha. I do not recommend it if you do not require it, right? And then so it's learning and healing and integrating all parts of yourself, which is why recalibrate is the first step. It's recalibrate, then it's actualize, and then it's align. Understand who you are as an energetic being first, because all that is wealthy. All of it is relevant. And then you move into actualization, and then you move into alignment, right? But you have to be you first.
Yeah, you're saying a lot, because even when you mentioned using the word ritual as opposed to routine, it definitely sparked something in me. Like I was listening to this and I was like, oh, okay, I'm guilty of that. So like I feel red, but it's all good.
A little bit. A little bit. You don't even notice it. It's a subtle, it's energy. We are always emitting a frequency from ourselves to like our, that's more science. No one asked me for science, but your cellular structure emits a radio frequency. And people say routine, they're like, oh yeah, routine. No, ritual, honey. Honor yourself first. Because routine is just going to kick over that same energy that you took to get the bachelor's degree, and then you didn't take a year off, but you went straight into a master's. You didn't take a year off, you went straight into the PhD, and now you burnt out and crying in a room by yourself and you think nobody knows. That's what routine got you. The routine of being a high achiever. The routine of, let me get this stuff done and get this done and get this done. No, a ritual is just self-serving. It's for you. We call them rich rituals for a reason, because they make you richer. You be nourished, rich.
Okay. And so help me understand, in terms of a ritual, why is that more self-serving than the terminology routine?
Because the word ritual, when we think about ritual, we think about sacredness.
Okay.
You know, for most people, when they hear rituals, when you hear it, it conjures an image. Some people it's gonna be a religious image. Some people it's gonna be like maybe like Buddhist. It conjures something that is slow, maybe even sultry, super intentional. That is how people need to be about themselves. Routine is equitable to a standard operating procedure. It is steps that have to happen for an outcome. The only outcome in a ritual is the sacredness of you. That's because it puts an image in people's minds. It says, okay, so is it okay to move a little slower? Do I have to do my ritual all in the morning? Can I do peace in my ritual now? Well, what feels good to me? If I'm talking about creating sacred time and sacred space, well, then what feels good? That is what I'm trying to conjure. That's what I teach people to do. Does that make sense?
Yes. No, that makes perfect sense.
When you hear the word, you're like, oh, there's a candle there. You might see yourself in your, on Easter Sunday. You might see yourself in your all whites for first Sunday. You know, ritual conjures a very specific pace and energy that routine does not. Routine says, get in the machine and go, just like everyone else.
So let me ask you this. I know that you touched on this slightly, but I wanted to ask you, there were a few steps that you mentioned. I believe it was recalibrate. One of them
actualize
was
lies and align.
Yes. So imagine I'm a new client. Like, walk us through what your approach is with a new client.
So recalibrate is about removing all barriers to success. It's about understanding who you are and coming out of whatever trigger state, so whatever survival mode you've been in. So in recalibrate, you're learning yourself energetically. So we're gonna pull your impact codes, we're gonna pull your spiritual strategy, we're gonna pull your purpose codes. We're going to uncover the energetic makeup of you, the being of you. We're going to uncover those hopes and desires while at the same time moving you intentionally out of reactive states. So you're going to learn how to have a daily ritual. I, with my clients, they get one sent out to them every day, right? That has four core areas that they should be tapping into. Mm-hmm. We're going to help you understand divine timing and divine order as spiritual principles. There's some other spiritual principles that we do at Recalibrate, but it's all about taking your brain and your body out of reactive mode into responsive mode, where you can actually hear and see. We have this thing called alpha and omega codes. Alpha code is what we call your core trance. It's like the story that you have been under. There are four of them. The story that you have been under for most of your life that guides your showing up. Fear, scarcity, trauma, unworthiness. So in Recalibrate, we're pulling back the layers, all the layers of you. And we're saying, here's who you are, honey. Hi, here's who you are. Yes, and you're beautiful. And spirit sees you. And you're purposeful. And divine timing is on your side. You're at the perfect place, the perfect time. That's what we're doing at Recalibrate. Actualize is where you, after we've done that, we also did for your business or whatever. But after we've seen you and you're, and now you're out of this mode, now we're getting you into the practice of redefining what you want. So we're saying, yeah, girl, remember when we showed you who you were? Remember when we turned off your inner critic? We turned off those things. Now that you have a fresh perspective, a fresh acceptance, what do you want? Your human design tells you these are things that you should, oh, you want to create this. Let's create that. Let's start to tinker with that. Define it, right? And we're doing the same thing with their businesses too, with their companies as well, right? 30, 60, 90 days. We're doing that as well. We're saying, here's what you wanted. And here's what you want. Here's what you want to create from a place, a blank slate. Your mind is no longer like survive, survive, survive. Your mind is like, all the things I want. What do you want? Mm-hmm. And in opening up that door and asking spirit and aligning your strategy and the way that you show up with, you know, I'm gonna finally be her. I'm gonna finally be him in this stage because I've defined what I want and I'm just saying, I don't know, but I'm gonna do it. Alignment starts to happen, right? That's when the job comes in. That's when my clients always come back and say, Tanisha, I only been here for 2 days. But I signed my first $10,000 client in 2 days, right? Cool. Oh, Tanisha, I've only been here for 3 months. I have made more. I have a client I'm thinking about specifically. She made like, she had been struggling the whole time before I met her. And in 4 months, she made $35,000, right? In 4 months. That was like her whole year last, the year that before she met me. And in 4 months, $35,000 just came into her business because she had deprogrammed herself, started being her. So like align is where that step where everything starts to come. All the right pieces are falling in place because you are being yourself. You're a beacon. You're radiating. You're out there and people can see you. Spirit can see you. And now all the things you ask for are coming. You didn't even have to do it. You didn't have to do that much, right? Actualize is about getting off of the hamster wheel and moving into the being of you. And for people that are like my clients, I have a very clear, very specific vision that I have for their lives, right? 25 hours or less a week, period, right? My ideal, my golden spot is 20, but people, when they hear 20, they kind of freeze. They're like, that's not possible. 25 hours or less. I can get you to a living experience for 25 hours or less. Minimum $250,000 a year, right? Or $20,000 a month, right? And creating whatever you want to create 100% of the time. That is my big vision for all of my clients. And I believe that spirit has given all of us charge. Like when you read my bio, I have three sacred things that I do that are so fulfilling to me. And I think, and what I have learned in studying spirit and understanding like people and like how we are developed and what we're here to do, we all have that. We all have the multi-hyphenate in us, but we don't do it because we don't think that it can all go together. And so when I streamline businesses and people, I'm putting all your things together. So that 250K, let's turn on that creative side of you, that creative project, bring it in. Let's turn on that mainframe business that you have. Let's turn it on too and bring it in. I'm gonna show you how to put it together. Oh, that foundation, that give back that you want to give to people, that thing that you think that you're here to do sacredly. Let's pull that in. let me show you how they all go together. Let me show you how your role, what your role is in this. And that's where that 250K comes from. It's like the sum total of everything that you do, and you can get off the hamster wheel. Just create whatever you want to create 100% of the time. That's my promise for all my clients.
Okay. I'm just soaking in everything that you're saying, because it's just...
This podcast is supported by The RealReal. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The RealReal.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The RealReal? Game changer. I earn more, and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell fast to our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The RealReal than anywhere else.
Exactly. This? That's the sound of your closet working for you. The RealReal. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
It's very profound, but we're going to keep spilling your wisdom. Okay, so how would you describe your ideal client that can benefit from your services? And let me say this. Now that I've had a deeper conversation with you, I could be presumptuous with this, but I feel like even me using the word ideal may not be the correct terminology. So, because what our conversation and our relationship is genuinely developing during this conversation, I want the listeners to know that we've only had a pre-recording conversation. So I'm genuinely learning more about you as this is going. So I hope I'm asking that question the right way. I'm completely open to your feedback.
Ideal, best fit, it's the same.
Okay, okay.
My best clients are creative. Mm-hmm. They are entrepreneurs, but they're multi-hyphenates. They are the people who... I say leaders as well. Sometimes they don't know it, but they are people who have passions and things that they want to do in the world that they do not see that exist. They also tend to be subject matter experts. Mm-hmm. The people that are drawn to me are people who are so smart about the thing that they are smart about. Mm-hmm. They're consultants usually. They have some type of aspect of like coaching or something to their personality that their work shows up in a specific kind of way. But I think the biggest thing is that they are creative entrepreneurs. They are innovators and they are visionaries. Mm-hmm. They may not own that for themselves, but they have a specific way and process and way of being that they want to see in the world. And they really just, my clients want permission to do all that really weird stuff that they love to do that they have called weird. They want to do all the things. Mm-hmm. Those are my best fit clients, right? People who are like, I want to, you know, Tanisha, I have this business. I have this career that I'm in, but I always wanted to have a music festival. And mm-hmm. I've also always wanted to like really do my spiritual thing. You know, like me, mm-hmm. I have my company. I have a spiritual community that I run and I have a dance company. The average person will be like that. None of those things are related, but I'm a creative. My mm-hmm. purpose is to create goodness and beautiful things in the world. And I'm aligned with my purpose. So cool. I'm multi-hyphenate. I get to be and have all the things. So people, entrepreneurs and creatives and founders who want to grow in their purpose, who want to be creative more of the time than they are working, and who are cool and okay with being locked into that subject that they know like the back of their hand and just wants to help everybody fix that thing because they know like the back of their hand. That's my ideal client, my best fit.
Okay. I like it. And so I feel like you've spelled it out in a number of ways, but I want to give you the opportunity to expand on this in case there's anything else impactful that you'd like to share on this. So imagine I'm a new client coming to you, and this is my first time hearing about a spiritual strategist. What number of ways can this, can a spiritual strategist have on a person's life?
We could develop a spiritual strategy for you specifically. Mm-hmm. I ran into one of my clients like a couple months ago that I, mm-hmm. a client that I had first met like 2 years ago. And mm-hmm. she was so happy to see me. And she was like, look, I still have it. I still have my spiritual strategy. I save it to my phone. I still use it every single day. That was 2 years ago. So we could, you know, work out a spiritual strategy. We could do a co-creation session, which okay. really looks like me helping you develop a growth plan based on whatever it is you're currently working on, process, whatever you're trying to build in your life or in your business. And we could join my program, right? I have a program called Elevate, right? Where you could be in the, how do I tell people about this? Like, becoming a CEO is an act of moving forward. And so Elevate is a program for creators, entrepreneurs, leaders who need support, like a COO, a strategic mind, to help them keep going.
Okay.
Like, you have a plan, now keep going. And we cultivate that and refine you into being the CEO that you're supposed to be, right? So you're selling your things, you're doing your things. So those are the ways in which people can use a spiritual strategist. You can have them look at your growth plan. You can have them build a growth plan for you. You can have them build a plan for your personal being so that you can actively show up and do the things you have to do. You can have, you can join a program in a community of other entrepreneurs and leaders who are actively working on and growing their companies in real time through the Elevate methodology, through that process I outlined, and through this new way of being that is not the old way of being, you know, that mm-hmm. corporate mentality, that thing. That's how I would say people can use a spiritual strategist, right? Any one of those mechanisms, any one of those ways are really good ways to start, and they will lead to powerful outcomes, period.
Well, you definitely have, I feel like you have us convinced based off of the goals that you even have for your clients. So let's just say also that I'm someone who is, I feel like I'm ready to embrace a fresh start in my life, which yeah. I feel like meeting you, like I could come to you with an idea and you're like, okay, but let's really embrace the fresh start. And this could be like a new career, a creative project, or just restructuring of any area of life. What would you encourage? This is coming to me as I'm saying this. Because I feel like the way I framed that question, even the way I came up with it for this episode, may have come from the mind of a high achiever.
Mm-hmm.
So if I'm someone who's coming to you with this mindset of like, okay, I'm ready to embrace a fresh start, whether it's like physically, career-wise, relationship-wise, whatever the case may be, what would you instruct that person to do first to get to a deeper level? Because, and the reason I say that is because I feel like the way that I'm phrasing it, even the way I'm thinking about it, like I'm thinking I'm coming to you like very awakened and let's have this fresh start. But really and truly, it might actually only be surface level.
Mm-hmm.
To get to the point of what you call like start to get to the point of being activated. What would you say to this person?
So the question is, if I'm trying to start on something new and I'm headed towards activation, what would be the first step?
Yes. Like, what would you encourage someone to get to a deeper level besides surface level of just achieving, beyond achieving?
I would get them to... What's coming to mind when you ask that question is radical self-acceptance. Accept and forgive yourself. Because when people go seeking other help, they usually go seeking someone's help after like a really wild night of like blaming themselves, criticizing themselves, saying that whatever they have done is some type of shortcoming. And they don't, because we're not trained to see the goodness of ourselves. And so the first step I always end up telling people is, if we were on a sales call, I'd be like, I'm so proud of you. Wow, you realize all these things about yourself. I'm so proud of you. And usually people just like burst into tears because they're not proud of themselves. Because the way society has conditioned us is like, everything I've done, I'm a failure. If it's not the thing, you're a high achiever. No, the first thing you're going to do is stop and accept yourself. You're going to say, thank you. because I'm going to honor you when you show up at my door. So I'm going to teach you, I'm going to mirror that back to you and say, you should be so, it is an honor to witness you. It is an honor to see you. You have an emotional response? Great. Go and appreciate yourself. Go and appreciate everything that you've done. Go see it. Go look at it with fresh eyes from this conversation and go look at who you have been and how it has added to this moment where you found yourself here. Congratulations. So that is always like where I start with people. Did you appreciate yourself this morning? Did you get to do that? Right? We need that. The only reason high achievers are high achievers is because they're trying to get somebody's acceptance, somebody's approval, somebody who don't see them. And they think that that's the way to do it. Nah, sis, you don't see yourself. Have you seen yourself this morning? You know, before you come and ask me a question, even the courage it took to come and ask me a question and say, I don't think I'm perfect. I don't think I have it all together, Tanisha. What's up? And I'm like, nah, this is the perfect moment for you. Congratulate yourself for that. That's usually what I would say.
I think that was perfect. Has there been a particular client or encounter that has had a significant impact on you? I imagine all of them, but just one that stands out.
Yeah. There are two people that come to mind, but the one person I'm going to talk about, I met this woman who is like she's a tech HR CEO who was like a solopreneur when I met them. That had just a beautiful arc, right? She used to be hitting like 12, I don't know, really ridiculous hours that by herself running this company with like really big tech clients and startup clients that she was doing HR services for. And we were able to take her business to a place where her income doubled in a year. All these, like, she was able to hire a full team. She was able to like launch her foundation. She was able to, and it's a really beautiful foundation. I'm going to leave names out for now, just for the sake of privacy and integrity. She received all these like accolades in that year. She like did so much work, and it all stemmed from the energetic recalibration. And when I think about people, she's always the first person that comes to mind. And then this other person comes to mind, this other client of mine, who when she started her business, homegirl was cash strapped. She was not okay. And she was emotionally unwell as well, right? That's the same client that did that $35,000 in a year. And then I watched her now move to being like a digital nomad as she did DEI work. And the reason why I'm spotlighting her is because the level of work and intention that she set around her perception of her own reality and the things that she was able to move out of her way. When you ask about like being Black and being a woman, she does DEI work almost exclusively, right? Mm-hmm. She does work around gender and identity, which can be really hard to do as a Black woman, challenging to do. Right. And she was able to refine her mind so well that not only does she manifest a new place to live, not only does she manifest a new income, but she also has a life where she can just pop up on a plane at any given time and go anywhere, right? And she has the emotional stability to understand her place in the greater work that she does is not to join the party of like DEI is dead, all these things, but it's to create new things. And so she now teaches about Afrofuturism. She teaches about gender politics and gender studies with like speaking engagements. And like she's a speaker now who went from I'm grinding just to do this corporate training. Now she's a speaker. Now she's writing her book, right? And it's a book about the Black experience and the gender experience. It's really dope. That's the kind of stuff I want to see in the world, right? Because who knows whose child's going to pick up that book? Who knows that the HR client that I had, who's going to go to her foundation looking for mental health resources? She started a whole organization around mental health resources for professionals. And it's good, right? It's about the money, but also it's about those things that we need in our world. That, right? So those people, when I think about those people, I think that is what keeps me in this work. I'm getting emotional now because it says that like you took the time to honor how sacred you are as a being. You trusted your spirit enough. You trusted creation enough to now create what you want to create in the world 100% of the time. And that client with the HR, they both work like under 20 hours. You know, like one time that she was like, I did like 10 hours this week. The team got it. Another one was like, yeah, I did like 10 hours. I sold this thing. I sold that thing. I got it. And I'm so proud of them.
With that, you answered the next question I was going to ask you. So I just want to rest there for a moment. Thank you for sharing your passion.
Yeah.
About that. I just want to give you a minute to honor that before I go to the next question.
Go ahead, girl.
Okay, so this is my second to last question for you. So fill in the blank for me. The mark I want to leave with my work is?
The mark I want to leave on the world is fearless, impactful, intentional creation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's
it. I think you're doing that already. So I think you're definitely going to leave your footprint with that as you continue to expand with everything that you're doing.
Yeah, you asked really powerful questions. This has me all up in my heart space, and I love that for me. Because, yeah, people talk about entrepreneurship, but people ignore entrepreneurship or career, whatever. Mm-hmm. The stretching of oneself is such a spiritual thing. It's so active. You know who you have to be to get up every morning and say, I'm going to do this thing, even when I don't have any receipts. You know, that's a mm-hmm. spiritual exercise. That is an awakening of oneself exercise. So yeah, fearless, impactful, intentional creation and creators. That's what I want to leave on this world.
Yeah, you're doing that. You are doing that. To be transparent with you, I'm thinking a lot about a few people in my life that I can't wait for this to be released in February so I can share this episode with them. So, and that's just people in my life. So I know if there are people in my life, including myself, that have benefited from hearing you speak, that there's so many more people that can benefit from your gifts. So I cannot wait to see the impact that you continue to have and that your episode will have on people.
Yeah. Girl, I remember I did a speaking engagement in a room full of like hairstylists or something. Mm-hmm. They needed a speaker. And I taught this method that I teach. It's called Fear Forward. And at the end of that thing, first of all, I'm spiritual. I'm Black. This is how I look. Where like they're like Paul Mitchell brands, right? Like high level.
Yeah.
The line of people I had that came to hug me at the end, I was like, oh, I was just talking about the things I like and God and creation. And they were like, thank you so much. You have helped me. And I'm just like, okay, yes.
You had an impact. You just showing up as yourself. It had an impact.
Yeah. Thank you for this opportunity. It was beautiful. You want to pray? We could pray.
Oh, I have one more question for you.
Oh, I'm sorry.
So my last question. So I always close out with my guests by asking a lighthearted, fun, style-related question because the title of the podcast is Style and Conversation.
Yes.
So I wanted to ask you, what is your best style memory?
Oh, I have so many. Like, I'm dressed casual for this, but like, your girl is a listen. I'm from Brooklyn. It's my little favorite hat right here. You know,
oh, I love it.
Like, just put it on real quick, you know.
I love it.
Right? My favorite style memory. Like I said, I'm West Indian. Mm-hmm. So I'm Jamaican and Guyanese. And my grandmother has this jacket. She has this jacket that she had from like the 80s when she first came to this country. Mm-hmm. And it's like all sequins, right? But it's like, I mean, it's my, so we, in my, okay, style memory, right? Because I'm getting so excited.
No,
so my family, we are like, if you know anything about Caribbean culture, if you know anything about Jamaicans, we are like, yeah, girl, dance hall queens, and you know, all that spicy part of like being Jamaican. We are that. That's where my family's from. Mm-hmm. And my favorite style memory, I had these like black, almost like leather pleather like pants that was kind of shiny and made a swishy sound or whatever, cuffed at the ankles. And my grandmother gave me that jacket sequins out. This was handmade. She got this outfit made for when she used to like throw parties back in the day in Brooklyn.
Uh-huh.
And so it's like red sequins and purple and pink and white and yellow, and it glitters. Like when you walk outside in that jacket, it's just like the whole world sees it, right? Like you cannot not be seen in that thing. Mm-hmm. And I put that together with these black leather pants. And at the time, I had these like black heels. They were like, I love a thick, solid heel, right? Mm-hmm. And I stepped out with the black underneath with that jacket, with the gold, because gold is my thing, with the gold earrings. I had on like 5 chains. And I was like, yeah, I'm outside. It was epic. The amount of compliments. And then
I love it.
And it was just like, cinch at the waist. It was so cute. That's my favorite style memory, is because that jacket is an icon. That jacket is a legacy. I plan on getting some of the sequins repaired and passing it on through generations. Because the jacket alone is a style icon. Like, I wish I had it on me here so I could show you, but like, maybe I'll send a picture and you can put it in the show notes or something. I'll send
you. Yes.
Because it's an epic jacket.
Girl, send it to me so I can add it to the show notes. I love it. And the reason I like to ask this question again, because the title of the podcast is Style and Conversation, because I'm a stylist, but also I just like seeing the enthusiasm from my guests when they reminisce or like they answer these questions, because each of us have our own individual style, whether we recognize it or not. And certain pieces, like certain lipsticks and manicures, yeah, whatever the case may be, it all evokes different emotions in us. And so I just love to see that from people. So that's one of the things I love about styling. Yeah.
First of all, I love people who are stylists, because you see the world mm-hmm. as it should be and people as they really are on a different mm-hmm. level than someone who's like I'm clairvoyant, sure, but like
yeah.
you can look at somebody and be like, actually, let's yeah. And then they're like a whole another being. Like,
yes. You know?
Like, I love stylists. I'm like, dress me, honey. Put me in clothes, because the more colors, the better. And mm-hmm. I am your canvas. Like, that's how I feel when I see people that style. So
it's so true. It's so true. Because I can see people and I'm like, okay, bet. Like, I see what you're trying to do. Like, I see the message that you want to send. Like, you don't have to be anyone else. You don't have to follow this trend or go buy this piece because it's trending right now. Like, we don't have to do that. Now, if you want it, if you're just feeling it, if it's your vibe, let's do it. But you definitely don't have to conform. Like, we can do this in a way that works for you. So yeah, that's definitely one of the things I love. I'm not one of those stylists that comes in like a Kanye and is like, let's do it with everything in your closet. And let's give you this uniform that's here for now and for everyone else. It's like, nah, like, okay, yeah, there's certain stable pieces that, you know, we should have to build your wardrobe, but those stable pieces are going to be based off of your style, your personality, your body type, your day-to-day activities, your weekly activities, all of those things. So, girl, we can talk about this all day, and it is so not about me. It is about you in the end of your episode.
I love this tangent. Keep it in. I love this tangent. It should be there. Thank you.
Thank you. So the last question I like to ask my guests is, this is your time to really spotlight yourself beyond what you have in your episode. I want to give you a chance to let the listeners know where they can keep up with you, if you have any upcoming projects that you want us to support, and yeah, just really tell us all the things. Where can we find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Your Other Mind, YourOtherMind. Mm-hmm. On pretty much every platform, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. Mm-hmm. If you want to follow me as an individual, you can find me at THENATTY. EM P-R-E-S-S. That's the Nazi Empress. Again, I'm Jamaican. And I'm a Nazi dread, just with the Rasta. And what we have going on currently is we're an open enrollment for Elevate, our program. We're taking 12 entrepreneurs through our process to get them to kick off their 25 hours or less a week, their march towards their $20,000 a month, 250K minimum, right? Creating whatever they want to create 100% of the time. And that looks like launching those projects, right? So stabilizing your income in your business or in your career, and then at the same time, launching actively creative project number one and getting it to a sustainable price and income, and then launching your other creative projects. So if that's a foundation, if it's a side hustle, we're in the mechanism of starting things that we want to create and putting them out in the world. So if you know you want to do that, you can talk to me. If you want to reach out to me for a spiritual strategy, I also am taking clients for that as well. Yeah. And we could develop one that's going to be really, really good and help to get you momentum, because I mean, the work that we do is all about literally just moving forward. Yeah.
I love it. Again, I can't wait to see all of the things that you continue to put out into the world. And I just thank you for your time here with us.
Thank you. This was really, really beautiful. A really grateful experience. I'm so glad. And it's an honor to have been witnessed by you. So thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate that. I'm very grateful that you were willing to share your wisdom and your talents with us. And I can't wait for this episode to be released. This is going to be so impactful. So my question for you before I close this out, did you want to say your prayer as a part of the episode or off?
Ooh, yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Let's say it. Cause then if you know who I am, then you know who I am. So when you show up at my door, you're gonna be like, oh my God, what's she doing?
Yes. Okay. All right.
All right. Here we go. Mother, Father, God, I want to thank you for allowing us to exist in the here and the now through time and space using technology and this beautiful creation that we have. I want to thank you for Jessica, for her gift, for her obedience, for her courage, for her willingness, for her open-heartedness. I want to thank you for allowing us to meet and have a meeting of the minds and to allow ourselves to expand gently, softly in this ritualistic and beautiful way. To all the people at the sound of my voice, everyone here in the room, everyone here in our homes, I want to thank the ancestors and the spirit guides and the angels and the beings that walk with us and seek to the evolution of us. I pray now that we all feel rooted, grounded in who we are and who we are allowing ourselves to become. I pray that the path is clear, obstacles removed, and that we know and trust the instructions that we get step by step, moment by moment, without having to see the full picture. I pray that we follow every divine lead, every divine download that comes, and that we nourish it. I pray that we tune our attention to the resources and the support that are waiting on us to be activated. I pray now that clear minds and clear hearts leave from this space, and everyone at the sound of my voice feels renewed and restored in their connection to you, our creator, our source. I pray that infinite intelligence and the divine design of our lives are now activated, that even if people don't understand that language, that they understand the energy of it, right? Understand that their lives is perfect, that they are in the right place at the right time, and everything is beautifully and meticulously working out for them specifically, and that you favor them specifically. This or something more for the highest good and impact of every soul that we are destined to touch, come across, beget, impact, nourish, and more, especially and including our own. And with that, we say amen, ashe, and so it is.
Amen. Thank you.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for that prayer. Style Crew, there's nothing else for me to say except follow this woman. Go check her out. Give her her flowers. Reach out to her, so that we can all be activated and be walking out our purpose the way that we are designed to. So yeah. I thank you all so much. And with that, we are out for another episode of Style in Conversation.
Bye.
Hey, Style Crew, make sure you're keeping up with our podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, as well as the Podcast Index. And if you'd like to view the podcast visually, check out my YouTube channel, Styled by Jessica Lauren.
This podcast is supported by The Real Real. Meet Christine. She loves shopping. And this is the sound of fashion overload. Too many fabulous things, not enough space. So Christine started selling with The Real Real.
I've always loved collecting designer pieces. Gucci bags, Prada heels. But my style keeps evolving. Selling with The Real Real? Game changer. I earn more and they do everything.
Seriously, just drop off your items or schedule a pickup. We handle the photos, descriptions, pricing, even shipping. You just sit back and watch your items sell. Fast. To our 38 million members.
And I get peace of mind knowing I earn more selling with The Real Real than anywhere else.
Exactly. That's the sound of your closet working for you. The Real Real. Earn more, save time, sell fast. And right now, you can get an extra $100 site credit when you sell for the first time. Go to TheRealReal.com to get your extra $100. TheRealReal.com. That's TheRealReal.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.